Hi, welcome to
Love
the Overshare
Talk
Show.
Radio.
Hi, welcome to the Overshare Show. I'm Tony.
I'm Grace, and thanks for listening.
We're really excited because today we're going to be talking about
natural birth.
Natural birth. Which is a term I'm not that into. How do you feel about the idea, like the term natural birth, the terminology?
It's a little pretentious and redundant. I mean, there's what isn't natural birth if the body is...
It's a natural process.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
I totally agree with you. There is a... It's like I once saw a t-shirt that said, Department of Redundancy Department. It's like that.
Exactly.
And I think there is like this twinge of moral superiority to it a little
it
bit.
Is.
Like, my birth is natural.
Mm-hmm.
I love my natural birth.
Yes, I can do it. Yes, all on my own and, yeah, without any...
I kind of feel like it needs a little bit of like a rebranding in order to bring people into it so they would be more interested in the process.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, like maybe... I don't know, old school birth or primal birth.
Yeah, original.
Original
OG birth.
Out the coochie birth.
Exactly. That's good.
Okay, so what made you interested in the idea of having a natural birth?
Well, I don't like hospitals, and I kind of knew that, you know, this was a natural thing that my body could do. I kind of trust my body, and I wanted to... make sure that I was letting it do what it could do. And I'm kind of a preparer, a researcher, a studier in general, and I love body processes. I'm a massage therapist, and so anything about the body really interests me. So I was excited to do the research about it. And so I went and read as many books and articles and things as I could just because I was fascinated by the mechanics of it. I mean, I'm like, what? My body grows another organ? That's crazy, you know, with the placenta and that kind of thing. So I was just excited to learn because I'm a nerd, and that's what facilitated my going in that direction, because the more I read, the more I felt like, you know, allowing my body to do what it knows how to do and facilitating that is the best way to go. So how about
I mean,
you?
I think that's like a really interesting point, this idea of like this is a body process, something that the body experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that really seduced me. I was just kind of curious about it. Like, what is this all about? I felt like, okay, this is part of the human experience, and I just want to know. I would definitely say that curiosity drove me to being committed to the idea of having a natural birth. But I do think there's a pretty wide spectrum of what's considered a natural birth. I mean, don't you feel like the prevailing assumption is you have to be like this Gaia mother goddess?
Exactly. You have to wear all hemp everything.
With
and,
incense,
yeah,
and patchouli.
Yes, beeswax candles.
In a yurt.
Yes, drumming.
And then, drumming, maybe drinking ayahuasca with a shaman.
Something like that.
Yeah, I think like there is a very kind of deep connotation we all have now that a natural birth is necessarily a home birth, which isn't just the case. I mean, I think a home birth is a beautiful process, but you don't have to have a home birth in order to have a natural birth.
Yes, it's sort of a natural birth to me is just one that has as little intervention as possible.
Were you interested in having a home birth at all?
Yes, I did think about it, and I think... there was a couple of things that drew me into going into a hospital. One was I have had, you know, a couple of herniated discs. And so I just thought if, you know, something went wrong with, you know, back labor or something like that, which we could talk more about, that complication, that I would want to be in that kind of facility. I also have a lot of diabetes that runs in my family. So I kind of wanted that to be monitored in a hospital setting, and in case I needed help in that area. I don't have diabetes, but I thought gestational diabetes might be a risk.
Right. I mean, I think that hospitals are great in the sense when you're dealing with birth complications. You know, childbirth is a dangerous act, and it's true that, you know, at one point in human history, it was a very common cause of death for both women and babies.
Yes.
So I think that, you know, we should honor
how vulnerable you are.
Yeah, you're incredibly vulnerable. And the medical establishment has brought great value to making birth a safer practice. But at the same time, it's also medicinized. I know it's not a word, but I feel like you like get my gist. The process of birth, you know, because it's not a medical condition. It's like we've been saying, like not a natural human process. And I think that hospitals are great when there are complications, but they don't necessarily facilitate healthy births in the best way because they are, you know, more prone to intervention in general.
They take you so much away from a natural setting.
Right. And yeah, and like when I'm in a hospital, I'm like terrified because I'm like, oh my God, I'm in a hospital. Something must be wrong with me.
Yes.
And so you already have like a psychological.
You don't go there to hang out. You don't go there to.
Yeah, no one goes to a hospital to just relax.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah. Even if the cafeteria is really good, it's just not a place you want to be all the time.
Right. So, but I do think that being in a hospital, you can have a natural birth experience. It's just something that you have to fight for and insist on.
Yes. There's a sort of, when you go into a hospital, there, it's all about procedure and systems and sort of official this and that. So if you have a different idea about your own process, you have to have command of it and be able to translate it really well to whomever you're working with, which is why knowing what you're getting into, you know, is really helpful and empowering.
Right. And I mean, I felt birth classes for me was, you know, a great thing to do. Like for one, it got me to this place where I had to think about my birth. You know, every week I was going, I'm like, okay, this is happening. I'm going to think about it. And I'm going to connect to the future event.
Yeah.
But I'm not one of those people that, like, watches a birth and I'm like, this is beautiful.
Right.
Look at it. It's so beautiful. I'm like, this looks like the movie Alien, and I think I'm going to vomit in my mouth. Like,
yeah.
I was so kind of horrified
in
my birth class.
Fine and good for them.
Yeah.
I want something else.
And everyone would just be like, oh, look at that. And I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, I was kind of fascinated just because I, you know, like anatomy stuff, it was sort of like, cool, you know, look at that, how that works. But I kind of disconnected from it a little bit. I did like going to the classes, but, and it did remind me, but the actual day I kind of was like, I'm just going to
do what I'm going to do.
Yeah, try not to, I don't know.
Overthink it too
much. Overthink it.
Yeah, but what I liked about the birth class is just like it was the space for you to think about your birth, for you to get information. I did a hypnobirthing class, so that it, you know, it was like kind of foo foo in the sense that they talked a lot about like breathing and meditation and, you know, being in the specific space where birth doesn't have to necessarily be painful, which I like that in theory.
Yeah, no pain is good.
But I wasn't necessarily expecting that I was going to just not feel pain. But what it did help me was just like remember the idea and the connection of like breath and being grounded, you know, because like birth is about relaxing because you're relaxing as your like cervix, which is very tiny, has to open up for the head to come out. And the only way that happens is if you breathe into it and relax down rather than like tensing up, which is incredibly difficult to do when you're in pain and when you're kind of nervous about the future. So I did think that the birth class just like instilled in me this idea that fear does not facilitate birth. And in fact, relaxing is the most important element that I can exist in.
I think that is key. And, you know, when I tell my sort of birth story, which I think we're both going to do, is comes into play in a big way. I think being relaxed, and I generally am kind of a laid back, go with the flow person. So I think that I had going for me. And the other thing I just noticed is it's such an internal process. I mean, you really want to be able to focus on all of the feelings and things that are going on in your own body. So if there are like flashing lights and a million, you know, people sort of coming in.
Was there
out.
A paparazzi at your
No,
place?
But yeah, I'm,
light,
I'm thinking. I'm,
light, light.
Exactly.
Flashing.
Me and Kate Middleton. Such a pain. No, I just mean like fluorescent hospital lights.
Yeah.
Even, you know, and just, you know, going, or ambulance lights, or I don't know, however, which, you know, flashing lights actually did come into my
play
birth.
For you.
Yes. You know, just a lot of medical experts around, it sort of takes you outside of yourself when really the best thing you can do is just be really focused internally on what's
right.
going on.
And turning inwards, introverting.
Yeah.
Because like pregnancy, birth is a very solitary experience. And you do have these people around you to protect you and facilitate you. But really, it's like your body is doing all the work. It's not like, you know, your doctor is like reaching in there under most circumstances and like pulling the baby out by its head. You're doing everything yourself. And people are there just as a witness to support you. In, you know, in truth, I mean, like, if you have a totally natural, healthy birth, technically you could just spurt it out yourself.
Right, right.
In the open tundra.
It has happened.
Yeah, it has happened. Sure. It happens. It happens like, on that show, I Didn't Know I Was Pregnant, all the time, and people squat out babies on toilets, which is so bizarre to me.
I can't believe that. I still don't believe it, that people actually miss that.
Yeah, I know. I was just like, when I was on the toilet, I think at some point I would be like, hey, this isn't coming out my butt.
Right.
I think I would notice the difference.
Right. Like, what the hell did I eat? This is not the way it's supposed to go.
Went down the wrong tube.
Right.
I mean, the other thing about natural birth, or let's say our old school birth, primal birth.
OG birth.
Oh, I'm so into that.
Yeah.
The OG birth, original gangster birth. That's pretty epic. I mean, like, you know, there's people take it very far. You know, it's like to have a natural birth, you know, some people take it to the idea where they have what's called a lotus birth. I don't know if you've heard of
it. I am not familiar with a lotus birth.
Okay. Everybody get ready for this.
Oh, God.
A lotus birth is when you birth your baby, but you don't cut the umbilical cord at all. So you, like, birth your baby,
right,
and then you birth the placenta, and then you just have your baby attached to the placenta.
The tether ball? That is disgusting.
Until it just falls off on its own.
I don't even know how that would. What did they?
So I think you like would like wrap up the placenta in like a plastic bag, and then you just like, you know, have your baby and the placenta for
kind
like
of
10 days.
Third wheel. Like, how? I mean, I'm trying to. The logistics don't. How do you work car seats with that? Like, do you strap them in next to it? Like,
does the placenta get its own car seat?
Yeah, do you like hang it up like a mobile? It's just.
I mean,
really
like,
disturbing.
But it's like the idea is that, you know, there's all these nutrients that you take away when you cut the umbilical cord. I mean, I personally heard that you shouldn't cut the umbilical cord right away and that you should wait until it stops throbbing.
Yes.
And I did do that. I felt like that seemed cool. And I'm going to admit, I did take my placenta home and I buried it under a tree because, like,
why not?
Yeah, I was just feeling kind of like pagan and raw that day.
Waste not, want not.
And I know some people grind it up and take pills.
Mm.
You can also do a placenta soup.
Mm.
I know.
I prefer...
with a little salt.
Tomato.
But I think lotus birth is definitely taking it to a new level. But hey, ladies, it's an option. Look into lotus birth.
Do you?
There may be health benefits to it, or you may just do it to really freak out your family. And
right,
just,
why not?
Right. I mean, like, in a way, I wish I did that and just took pictures of it.
Yeah. Now what?
If I had known, yeah. You want to hold my baby? We'll hold the placenta, too.
Right.
Get ready.
Yeah, that's deep.
So I want to hear about your birth story.
My birth story. Well, because I was really into the mechanics and the whole process and all of what might happen in a hospital, because I chose to go through a hospital, I found this amazing course, and it is based on the Bradley Method, and it was a 12-week course.
Yeah, that's a long course, though.
It is.
Yeah.
Most of them are like six or something. I was like, I'm going
for 12 weeks.
Exactly, all the way. And, you know, and my husband came with me, and it was like, I can't remember. It sounds ridiculous when I say it out loud. I think it was a three-hour course.
Three hours a class.
Right.
12 weeks.
Yeah.
You were committed.
I was.
Yeah.
I was. I mean, you know, I'm probably just going to do this once, so might as well get into it.
Right.
And I also was interested in maybe being a doula, so I thought, you know, the more information, the better. So I... went to this course and learned, I mean, we prepared like you would not believe. We had three different birth plans, which is sort of a preference of what you would like in case of different scenarios. And we saw this crazy video on the first class, which is, you know, like showed you sort of like how the media portrays birth, which is sort of ridiculous. And there was a lot of
dramatic
sort of screaming and,
yeah,
you know, gurneys flying down aisles and things like that. And, you know, Murphy Brown grabbing someone by the collar and saying she's going to kill them and that kind of thing. And so we all got a good chuckle and moved on. And I remember it was my husband who brought up at the very last class, you know, what happens in case of an emergency. And we looked and it was like, oh, this one paragraph thing at the end of the book. And he was like, is there something missing? Like, this seems a little abbreviated. And our teacher, which thank goodness she said this, said, if things are moving really quickly in an emergency birth, then it means usually that things are going very well. So if things are going along that quickly, all you need to do is kind of get out of the way. So fast forward a couple weeks, I am hanging out, relaxing. It's in the evening, and it's a Sunday night, I know, because my husband was watching football. And at about 1 o'clock in the morning, I kind of woke up and then, you know, felt some rumblings, whatever, something different. And about 2:30 in the morning, I woke up Ian and said, you know, why don't you download that app that times contractions.
I love that, the iPhone.
It was brilliant.
Let's get the iPhone out. Let's time some contractions.
Mine as well. So
the iPhone is the answer to like all things
it
modern.
It is. Probably
yeah.
Could.
I think iPhone 7 will birth for you.
That would be amazing.
If Apple knows
we'll
what's good for them,
the
get into that. Yeah, and yeah, iPhone 7 will carry your placenta for you.
And so we had this giant binder. You know, and Ian was like flipping through the flow charts of like my emotional stages. I got my 16-hour playlist ready because we knew the average first birth takes like 15 hours. We had plenty of time, called the doula, you know, to let her know things were happening. So I, you know, went out into my living room and put on the first song. About halfway through the first song, I turned it off because I was like, oh, wow, this is going a little fast for me. I think I'm going to jump in the shower. I learned, you know, hot, warm showers, relaxing. So I get into the shower, and I'm there for maybe another 2 minutes and fling open the curtain like, you know, someone's in there chasing me. And I, you know, I'm soaking wet right into my bedroom, and I'm like, Ian, something is very wrong. Call the hospital. Like, I felt like pushing.
Wow.
It happened really, really quick. So my poor husband, now this turns into the sitcom that I was watching and laughing at, you know, a few months earlier. And he's like trying to dress me and has this, you know, nursing bra and is looking confused. He's flipping through the flow chart. Everything's, you know, all these things, all the cues are molding together, you know. And he's like trying to help me, and I just then the sort of contractions start, and oh my God, there is nothing voluntary about this. It is like I know what it's like to be a trash compactor, like your whole body just, you know, implodes and squeezes it, and it like every fiber of you is contracting, and to the point where I sounded like, I don't know if you, do you remember Sling Blade?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I was like, Ian, get me my purse.
I'm ready to burn.
This poor man was so scared. And so he like tries to help me on with my maternity pants, which have this giant stretchy part that's supposed to go over my belly, but I cannot have it over my belly right now. So the stretchy part starts at my knee. And I'm waddling around trying to get downstairs, like to the front door. And I'm like, I can't go. I'm staying here. And he's like, get in the car. So I crawl in the back seat on my hands and knees, and off we go. And
so you're just in the back, pants down.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pants down, ass
pants
up.
Down.
Ready to go.
Exactly. And we drive to the hospital, which is about the longest 20 minutes away I've ever experienced. I just kind of keep my head down. You know, I'm a little busy. And the car slows down, and I'm like, oh, my God, thank God we're here. And then I kind of look up and see blue flashing lights.
Oh, God.
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? And, of course, what most cops do when you're speeding, you know, at, you know, 65 in a 30-mile-an-hour zone, they take their time, and, you know, they get out of the car. And my husband, like, rolls down the window and is, like, straining his neck out, like, my wife's in labor. And this cop, who looks like he's 12 years old, comes sauntering up, like, what seems to be the rush here, and sees my...
bare ass.
My bare ass.
And vagina.
I don't know what... He probably saw Calvin, too. I don't know.
He could probably see the crowning head.
Yeah. All I know is that he... Like, I saw... I was like, please, I'm pushing. He jumps back and just waves his arm, like, keep it going, like a race car driver, you know, baseball player bringing people home. So I, we go on to the hospital, and luckily the cop called ahead.
Oh, and letting know that you were coming.
Right. So there is a woman with a little wheelchair at the emergency room, or the emergency room entrance. So she wheels around. They're like Keystone Cops, like, whoa, 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 and opens the door. And she's like, she's crowning. So about 2 minutes later, there are seven people at, you know, the open door of my Subaru looking at my ass, and including an emergency room doctor who's like, do you think you could push? And I was like, are you kidding? I thought you would never ask. And boom, one push. Here comes Calvin.
Wow.
Yeah, it was like, if he hadn't been there, Calvin would have hit the door.
Like, wow, just out the door.
Yeah, and, you know, Ian is standing next to the doctor trying to hand him our birth plan.
The doctor's like, I am holding your baby, so
yeah,
thanks
this,
for this.
This is happening now. So, yeah, we got there before the doula, before the midwife, and, yeah, and it definitely...
So he was born in the car. Outside.
He was born in the car, in the emergency room parking lot, which is only a miracle. I mean, he could have been born on my front doorstep easily, I'm sure. So, yeah, that's
amazing.
How it went.
That's
we
just
had a
like
drive-through birth.
One of those drive-through births. Oh wow, that's just one of those stories. It's hard to believe, even.
Yeah, it was a blur.
It was a blur.
Yeah.
So. My labor was, like, way longer than that. I would say it was about 19 hours. But in the beginning, it was, like, very chill. You know, it felt like period cramps. Mm-hmm. And I felt like I was the ultimate mother goddess, just handling my labor with grace. You know, I was like, oh, yeah, I'm so on top of this. You know, and they were happening, you know, every couple of minutes. So after about... 6 hours of that, I was like, all right, let's go to the hospital. So we get to the hospital, and so you'd never had this lovely experience of someone checking your cervix to see how dilated you are. Mm. So I'm kind of like looking out the corner of my eye, and she's like basically lubing up like her whole hand and like forearm area. Wow. And I'm like realizing I'm about to get fisted. this is gonna happen, you know. So she quote unquote checks my cervix, which was probably one of my top three most uncomfortable moments in life. And she's like, you're only 3 centimeters. You know, like, you can go home. But I knew I was having a baby that day. I was sure of it. So we went to the park. I had a doula. She was great. She was actually my cousin. And her and Wes just kept telling me to bring my energy down. And I'm just, like, in the park, and I'm actually sitting in a lotus position.
Nice.
In a meditative pose. Just being zen, and people would like walk by and be like, oh, you're in labor, how beautiful. Then at about like 4 o'clock in the afternoon, yeah, I start losing my mind. I'm like, yeah, I'm not okay anymore.
Right.
So we go back to the hospital, and I had thought in my mind, I'm like, I'm gonna do a water birth, I'm gonna get in that tub. I get there, and they're like, yeah, the tub's been taken.
What?
And I'm like, but I was here first.
You are not vibing with my vision.
I need to get in the tub because the tub is what's going to make me feel better. Like, I had in my mind that if I was in the water, I would, like, not be feeling like I was going to.
This was your relief.
Yeah, it was my one relief. So they're like, sorry, she was here earlier, later. We sent her away. There's only one birthing tub.
Tell her to move over.
I know. I'm like, tell her to move. Like, can't we do it in tandem? So they're like, listen, we have a bathtub. Let me just clean it out, okay? And then maybe you can just get in the bathtub. So they clean out the bathtub. And I'm like, I finally get in it. I'm like, on all fours. And the nurse is there. And all of a sudden, like, I start to notice that, like, the nurse's hand who's in the water of my bathtub is bleeding.
What?
And I'm like, you're bleeding.
Wow.
And I guess she had cut her hand on this, like, old bath somehow.
Yeah, I'm wondering why this bathtub was not clean.
I know. Like, I know. It's kind of a weird
hospital
scenario. Like, oh, we have this dirty bath you can hop in. So she's like, oh, dear, I did cut my hand. Then they, like, leave me. And then they, like, come back. And they're like, yeah, you're going to have to get out of the bath. And I'm like, but I'm like, isn't the damage already done?
Right.
You know, I just
I
felt like.
I have hepatitis A.
Yeah, I know. It's like, I got it now, girls. But I was just, they were like, you got to get out of the bath. And again, I felt like, oh my God, like now how am I going to feel better? And so I get out of the bath and I'm like freezing cold because I'm in the hospital. I'm like, ooh, so cold. So they put me in the shower and Wes is trying to like hose me off with
hot water,
but it's cold. And he has like the shower head and he's trying to do it. And I'm like, it's cold. So he's like trying to make it hot, but he's not noticing where he's holding the shower head. So he's just basically spraying me in the face with water. And I'm like, get me out of here. So they like pull me out. And it's like, it was a small shower. I like took two people to yank me out of there. And then they're like, well, why don't you get on the birthing ball? Or why don't you, you know, walk around? I felt like I was going to die. And like, you know, I totally understand the point where women are like, I'm getting that epidural.
Right. No, I definitely, even me, and you know, I started timing contractions at 2:30 and I had the baby at 4:30. There was a time where I was like, I need a coffee break. Just
yeah,
like just, 15 minutes.
Just a break.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So the thing that was hard for me is that like, I knew I was supposed to relax, but all my energy was going so up. It was like, in my chest, you know, I was fighting it. And it took a long time for me to realize that I had to just relax into it. And luckily, one of the nurses there was a Reiki practitioner and started doing Reiki on me. And I began to calm down. And then once I started calming down, the contraction slowed down. But like I got a moment to rest and to get ready for the next phase, which was to push. So I had this moment of just feeling in control again. So it's like I had this door that I had to push through. But I got through that door and I felt like I was in a new space, a new space of endurance and energy. So then I started to like feel something come out of me. And I'm like to the nurse, I'm like, hey, something's coming out of me. And it turns out that you know how your water sometimes breaks? Well, my water didn't break. So my placenta sac or my amniotic sac had to be birthed first before the baby. It was my amniotic sac. That's what it was.
Wow.
So I had to push out the sac, and which was like not that fun. And,
no.
You know, it was like, and then after the sac was out, they were like, okay, well, now it's time to push out the baby. I'm like, I can't give birth to a baby. I just gave birth to a sac.
How many times do I have to do this?
I know. I'm like crying. I'm puking. And again, I hit another wall during that pushing point where I feel like I can't go forward.
Did they break the sac? Because
no.
Because the baby's in the sac.
Yeah, I think I just birthed it. I mean, I didn't know what was going on down there.
Right, right.
You know,
like,
but
you
like.
You take care of that. I'm work on.
And oh, I know. I remember the doctor was like, my, you have very strong membranes. I was like,
I don't want to have strong membranes.
So then I think I puked. I was hitting another wall. I was like, I can't do this. I'm going to die. I can't do this. And then I remembered my birthing class, you know?
After all this, which goes to show how preoccupied you are during
like,
this process.
Yes.
I was there for 6 weeks or 8 weeks. And
I need to just breathe. So then I stopped yelling. I stopped freaking out. And I just started breathing down. And, like, I really just breathed the head out. I just, like, breathed the head out. And then I was like, they're like, that's great. I see the head. Let me just suction the mouth, you know, the head's out. Let me just suction the mouth. And I'm like, get this baby out of me.
Yeah, first things first.
And I like grab my knees and I'm like, ah, push the shoulders out. The doctor says, reach down and grab your baby. And I'm like, again. He's like, just reach down and grab your baby. I just reached out and I pulled the baby out myself.
That's awesome.
It was
that is OG.
Wild. Sure. It was totally OG. Like, I was the first person to touch the baby. We had no idea what the gender was because I never found out. And so when I pulled the baby out, I was just, like, holding this genderless being, which was kind of epic. And we had no idea. It wasn't until the umbilical cord was cut, maybe, like, a half an hour, 45 minutes, that I realized that I had a girl, which is what I really wanted.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was, like, in the end – you know, I'm really glad I did it. I mean, how do you feel? Are you glad that you did a natural birth?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I feel very lucky because before I gave birth, during my second trimester, and I'm, you know, I witnessed my friend who also had a natural birth. Hers was 26 hours or longer. And, I just felt like the process that I went through with going through all the classes and doing all the research really, really relaxed me. And that was the state I needed to be in to have things move along so quickly.
Yeah, I mean, things moved along really quick for you. And I cannot believe you would have gone to a birth, to watch a birth while you were pregnant, like a freaking wild woman.
Yeah, I was in the middle. I was like, oh, maybe this wasn't such a good. I mean, it was amazing. It was beautiful and amazing, and I'm glad that I did it. But yeah, I don't know how much help I was because through, you know, there was a point where the doctor was like, you know, helping my friend,
mm-hmm.
and turned around and was like, are you okay? Because I was a puddle of, you know, overexhausted. Teariness, like in the corner, like, Borg, I just want this to end.
I know. It must be so hard to watch a birth. I also felt bad. It was like lasting so long. I was like, are you guys okay? Do you need a sandwich or something?
Yeah, I'm sorry
this is taking so long.
She was incredible. But and she did. She had a natural birth. You know, so happy ending to her story. She was a beautiful, healthy baby boy and she was fine. But it did. It took a while. But she was able to do it, and she's happy she did it that way, too. So
today, this is exciting. We're going to have a guest call in who started the Natural Birth Summit, which is something I was actually a part of, which, I mean, I think it's interesting that in this day and age, we need to have, you know, advocates for natural birth because it has become the rare way of giving birth. Now the norm is by having some sort of intervention.
Right.
So, I mean, I think, do you feel like, with people that you talk to, that they are, like, you know, like, have you felt that there was a lot of support for you having a natural birth, or did you feel people were kind of like, are you crazy?
Well, anything around children and parenting, people have strong opinions. So I usually fell into two camps of, like, you know, how could you do this to your, you know, your child, you know, and not provide them with, you know, absolute everything that's available to you. But because I was in a hospital, I didn't get too much flack. I know my friend, she started at a birthing center with a midwife and then moved to a hospital because her birth did not progress. And there were times where she did not feel as supported. So, yeah, I think there's still some barriers to deal with people, which unfortunately goes against what we were talking about is, you know, the fear, it builds the fear and anxiety around giving birth, which is counterproductive.
Yeah, I mean, I think fear is probably the greatest deterrent, you know, and I think it's really easy to be afraid because you don't know what's happening. It mm-hmm. is a new experience, you know, mm-hmm. especially if you've never given birth before. And like you were saying, it's you feel incredibly vulnerable.
Right, right. Exactly. I mean, I think it's sort of a very primal thing to shut down, you know, the labor process. You're not even it's not even a conscious thing. If there is a feeling of anxiety, your body feels threatened, I think, and it just shuts down. So if there are people that you love and respect telling you, you know, you're putting your baby at risk, even if you decide to go ahead with it, there may be some subconscious part of you that's stressing out, which may hinder it. You know, that's just my own theory.
No, I mean, I think there's a lot of sense to that. And, I mean, women really do need to be supported in order to have, you know, like the birthing experience that they want. And I think there is like a lot of stress that's involved, especially when you have a certain expectation and things have to go differently.
Right. Oh, that's another thing. I mean, because, you know, we're talking about being it's a very internal process and you need to listen carefully to what's going on in your body. You know, your own expectations and ego and like vision kind of have to be put aside in order to be present and go with what needs to happen. And if there does need to be an intervention, you need to allow that because it can escalate quickly if you don't.
Yeah, I mean, I thought one of the most interesting resources that I found on this particular subject was the movie or the documentary that Ricky Lake did called mm-hmm. The Business of Being Born,
mm-hmm.
you know, which I thought was so interesting in the sense that it really just explained, you know, how things can cascade when you have intervention. So it's like you have this idea of a due date. And when you have a due date, you know, people get really stuck to that day. Like, okay, you know, this is my day. And if I go 2 days over, my baby is late. When actually there's a 5-week window from when it's considered normal for you to give birth.
Right.
So I think like once you get the induction, there's just this cascading consequence that happens.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, like for instance, so you got induced with the Pitocin. And then that makes the contractions incredibly painful.
Right.
Like more painful than normal, I think.
Right.
Because it's outside.
Yeah, magnified.
It's a synthetic influence, and it shuts your brain isn't then producing the natural hormones
right.
to deal with the pain. Because
the rhythm is disrupted.
I really like that. The rhythm is disrupted because there is a rhythm
mm-hmm.
to your birth process.
Absolutely. To the contractions, to when different hormones are released in your body. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, I think that's a really beautiful point. So you have this introduction of Pitocin, which screws with your rhythm. So then people are much more likely to get an epidural because you have an unnatural or like an imposed reaction to these contractions, you know?
Right.
And so then you get the epidural, which
it's
may be
intense as it is. So
I know, which is terrifying.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the idea that birth is painful is also terrifying, but it's not the same kind of pain as, let's say, you know, getting a chainsaw lodged into your face. It's kind of like a good pain.
No.
Yeah.
But I can say, you know, I've had a couple herniated discs and really bad sciatica, and that was much worse in a lot of ways because I didn't know when it was going to end, and I did not get a baby out of it. I just had
like right, there was no purpose.
Right.
And there is some purpose to the pain of labor.
Mm-hmm.
And like it can even be argued that like, you know, from like a philosophical, metaphysical perspective, it's like that pain and the pain that you go through in order to meet your child is incredibly relevant because it's like it's part of the bonding, like beyond just the hormonal cocktail that is released.
Right.
You know, there is like when you work for something.
And, you know, yeah, exactly. And also just trying situations bring people together in general. So it's like you're going through this sort of life-changing, really, struggle.
Right.
And, yeah, it brings you together.
That's really true. I mean, it's said that, like, if you meet someone under some crazy circumstance, like in that movie Speed or something, you're going
right.
to fall in love just because
right.
of
mm-hmm.
all the excess mm-hmm. adrenaline hormones that exist.
Right. So giving birth is like being on a bus with Keanu Reeves.
Oh, God. I wish. So, but about the epidural, it's like the epidural may, I mean, I didn't have one, so I don't know, but I think it does dull the pain, that's for sure. But at the same time, it slows down the contractions. So it's like you have this Pitocin to speed up the contractions, and you have the epidural, which slows down the contractions, so then you have to up the Pitocin.
Right.
And then you need to up the epidural. So then it's like the baby who's, you know, basically in your birth canyon canal is
mm-hmm.
getting squeezed
right.
excessively, like much mm-hmm. more than it would if you were just following the own rhythms of your body. And it's much more likely that your baby will go into distress because it's being squeezed so much and the contractions are longer. So that I think, from what I understand, the baby isn't really breathing when it's being contracted. So it's like if you have a really, really long contraction, then like your baby's heart rate is going to drop and you're going to have more problems.
I didn't know that about the breathing.
Yeah, so that's why a lot more births that are done with induction ends up in a C-section. And I think the thing about the C-section, I mean, of course, if it's something that's saving the life of you and your baby, it's you don't question it.
Right.
But, I mean, I do think that when you have the experience where it's a consequence of birth intervention, mm-hmm. there are a lot of potential health problems.
Right.
You know, like, I know there's a lot of lung issues you can have, like bronchial issues for the baby.
Right, because that squeezing actually serves a purpose as well, or it moves the mucus and some of the fluid that the baby holds, and it's purposeful during the time in the womb. When it's squeezed through the birth canal, it helps to dislodge some of that. But when you have a C-section, that doesn't happen. So I think that...
Yeah, and that you're much more likely to get asthma.
Hmm.
As a baby, and I think, I mean, I've heard this, I mean, this is an awful thing to mention, but as a woman, you have a lot of scar tissue that happens with a C-section, and you can have really intense consequences, like a ruptured bowel, which can kill you because of how much scar tissue.
Right.
You know, so obviously, if you've had these experiences, they, you know, it's a part of you, and I'm sure there's many things you can do to prevent such things, but
right.
it doesn't need to be, you know, like, and I think what the reality is that when you have more intervention, you are upping your chances for a C-section rather than a C-section being, you know, just a rare exception for particularly dangerous situations.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, so, I mean, I also think what's kind of interesting is the idea of an orgasmic birth.
Oh, yes.
Which we saw.
that's
another great documentary to watch.
Yeah,
it's called The Orgasmic Birth, and it's a real thing.
It is.
You may feel like you're watching pregnancy porn.
You are, pretty much. No.
Yeah, I know. I mean, there's no, like, obviously penile penetration,
no.
but it's like a pregnant woman orgasming.
Yeah.
And we watched it as pregnant women together because we were pregnant together.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
Mm-hmm. It was. It was very cool. We watched. Yeah, I watched Babies, too. Did I see that with you? No, that was afterwards.
Oh, but yeah, Babies is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
But the orgasmic birth is a really interesting perspective in the idea that, like, birth should be just as pleasurable as, like, what got you pregnant in the first place.
Yeah.
And it's dealing with the same organ.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, why can't – I mean, you have an orgasm during sex,
mm-hmm.
and if you're not, you really need to, you know, have some discussions with your man about that. and you know – practice on yourself. But you have an orgasm during sex, you can easily have an orgasm during birth. And I mean, we did see women doing that. And although I wasn't necessarily expecting an orgasmic birth, and I think I would have felt a little awkward.
Yeah, it's kind of a personal thing
I mean,
to do in front
like,
of.
Excuse me, doctor. I don't think I was like looking for that, but I love the idea. That like
it was inspiring.
It doesn't have to be painful. There can be like a sense of ease and beauty to it. It's all about perspective. And I think the women that experienced orgasmic birth, they were fully committed to the perspective that was possible.
Yes, I think just knowing that that is possible changes things around. Yeah.
Right, and even if I didn't think it was possible for me, the idea that it's possible for somebody else, like. I felt like right in my horizon.
Right. And it also broke up the other images I had of women giving birth, you know, screaming in pain and tearing people's hair out and, you know, cursing their husbands and things like that I'd seen in other.
Yeah, I know. Hollywood definitely does like impact your understanding of birth in a real way because it feeds that fear.
Mm-hmm.
And like we were saying beforehand, it's like the more fear you feel around your birth, the less empowered you're going to feel and the more you're going to kind of be looking for other people to like save you from this experience rather than looking inside yourself and realizing that you and your baby are in fact a team.
Right. And it is interesting because you are in a sense out of control because your body takes over.
Right.
But you are in control of sort of your perspective on things and your, you know, ability to go with the flow of what's happening to your body. So you can be in control as well. You know, you can be, just in control of that that feeling that your body is doing what it's supposed to do. And, yeah.
Right. And it's like even if you don't consciously know, like, I mean, like the idea, okay, you're going to be pushing out your vag. That's nothing I've ever done before. I know how to push out my butt. I know how to gag and puke a baby out maybe, but I had no concept of what it
was. You know how to puke out a baby.
Well, at least yeah. I've had experience vomiting, you know. Mm-hmm. You have experience with things coming out of your other holes. You blow your nose,
especially the first
ears.
20 weeks of my
pregnancy. Yeah, a lot of puking.
Yeah.
But, like, you only have experience with things going in your vag. You don't have experience with anything going out except for just, like, gushing blood every 28 days. Hmm. You're welcome. You are welcome
for that.
So I think there was something really foreign to me about this idea, like, okay, I'm going to be pushing out that thing. But in the moment, you kind of figure it out. And I think that a lot of that is like trusting that your baby knows what's going on. Your baby knows its way out of you.
Yeah, I think about that a lot. I mean, knowing Calvin now, it is completely, it makes complete sense that he was born, you know, in 3 hours in a car.
Right. He's like, I'm doing this.
Yes. He's very enthusiastic, very intense, and he loves cars.
He does. He has a real affinity for cars.
Yes.
Yeah, it's like you could either see it as that's because he was born in a car or in utero, which is like a huge part of your personality. He was already in the cars, and he's like, I'm doing this in here.
Yeah.
This is my birthplace.
Yeah. You got to save this car, mama.
Yeah, it's like you may think of your birthplace as like this, like, you know, with like flowers everywhere.
Exactly, a spa.
Yeah, a spa. And he's like, no, dude.
Subaru.
It's a Subaru. It's a back of a Subaru. It's a car. I mean, I kind of love that idea.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I do think the reality is that your baby has an innate knowledge. And, you know, something that I read on Facebook, I'm going to admit that, which is super interesting, is the idea that, like, what if that light at the end of the tunnel is just you coming out another vagina? You know, like, so it's like, which I was like, that's a really cool,
that's a cool thing
to think about. But it, yeah.
Vaginas.
Vagina is the turnstile of life. Are you a genius? Can we please make t-shirts of that? I am in love with that idea. So, yeah, I think that there is this kind of, like, trust that we all have to have in our babies, that our babies are a part of this process, and they know what they're doing, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that idea, that I was, like, half of what I had to do was also just, like, trust my baby and trust that, you know, they were on my team and they knew what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
I think trust is a huge part of having a natural birth. Also, commitment. You have to be really committed to it.
Right. Especially if you do go into a hospital setting where, you know, other people have their own agendas and they all have your best interest at heart, but, you know, they have lots of different ways of going about it. So.
Right. Yeah. I mean, because there is the reality that when you're dealing with like a midwife who, you know, you're one of few clients, I don't think she doesn't book it in the sense where she's having multiple labors at the same time. She is like committed to be with you if you have a 20-hour or 40-hour labor even.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're working with a doctor or doctor scenario who has shifts, you know, it's just like people have different schedules when you're dealing with like the medical establishment than when you have like a midwife, from what I understand. So it's like, so your doctor is like, oh, this is taking forever. Let's do this. Like their priority isn't necessarily for you to have the birth experience you want. Their priority is A, the health of your baby, B, you don't, they don't get sued, and C, that like they also have their own schedules. That,
yeah, I don't know. I guess it does depend on where you go. And that's the other thing, is a facility is really important. You know, I chose sort of a mid-sized hospital nearby, and they had a team of midwives at the hospital, and they also had doctors. And during my pregnancy visits, I kind of met everyone. But the doctor, it's also the hospital that my friend, who I witnessed their birth, that's where they came to. And the doctor was actually just about to go off his shift, but he heard about my friend coming in. He knew the midwife birthing center that she was coming from, and they had a partnership. He stayed on, and he stayed with her. He was amazing. And that's all. And, you know, after everything was over and he was just about to leave, I just went up to him and, you know, thank you for taking care of my friend.
That's really amazing.
Just, yeah, you know, there are some incredible, incredible, gifted, you know, patient, open-minded doctors out there. And there's also midwives who do not want to be sued. Nobody wants to be sued. And so, yeah, it can go both ways. And there's lots of different scenarios, which is why just getting as much information about, you know, how the system works wherever you go.
I mean, I think you brought up a really good point. Like, one is that it's not like the midwife is the perfect scenario and the doctor is your enemy, mm-hmm. which I think is really important for people to understand. You know, there mm-hmm. are doctors who do genuinely have a vested interest in working with you in your birth process, and you just have to be open to seek them out a little bit.
Right.
You know, so I think that's a great point. And the other point you brought up that speaks to me is, like, you know, this idea of, like, a giant hospital that may be, like, the best in the area, or like a smaller hospital where you right. could get more personal attention.
I you know, I grew up in Boston, which has the best medical facilities arguably in the world, and I don't think I would go to like a Mass General to give birth. You know, if I wanted to have my big toe grafted onto my face and be able to animate it, I would go to Mass General.
Yeah, they could do that for you.
I'm sure they could. And but just to have a baby, I think, you know, a smaller setting is one, it just goes back to being more comfortable and being able to know everybody, and you're not, you're less likely to be a number.
You're less likely to be a number, which is like, I mean, I think that is the problem with the hospital settings, and it's not their fault necessarily. It's that, you know, they're dealing with like huge numbers and a huge volume of people, and like mm-hmm. you could be one of like 10 births in a day,
right.
you know, and that's just the reality of the establishment that we exist in. And so wherever you can go where you can have the most personal attention, I think you will be most likely to have the birth experience you want. But even if you don't have that capacity, I think having a partner with you that is on the same page as you, has also been educated, can be your advocate, can speak for you,
right.
it's hugely important.
Right.
And I also feel that, like,
I think the doula is super duper important.
Yeah.
I mean, even, you know, my, you know,
and a doula is not a midwife. Let's make that distinction. A doula
right.
is someone who's just there to assist.
Support.
Yeah,
they're
support.
They're an advocate. They're there to be a liaison sometimes between, you know, the doctor and the woman giving birth, or the husband, just to let him know kind of what's going on.
Right.
Or the partner, whoever is, you know, with the woman giving birth. And, yeah, they're amazing.
Yeah, and I do think there are a lot of free doula programs out there. You know, I definitely think it's worth looking into, and if it's not something that's financially viable, being as educated yourself and having some birth partner, whoever it is, whether it's a mom, a boyfriend, husband, girlfriend, it doesn't matter, sister,
mm-hmm.
leprechaun, that's just like, okay, I know what you want, and I'm
he would
here
need
for
a
you.
Stool.
Well, I guess we didn't get a chance. Yeah. I guess our caller didn't get to call in and
educate
us.
Oh, it didn't work out.
But there is an amazing natural birth summit that's going on for the next 3 weeks.
Excellent. Where is?
It's online. It's okay. A national effort, thenaturalbirthsummit.com.
Okay.
So I do think that's a really important resource. I think Ricky Lake's movie, The Business of Being Born,
mm-hmm.
is amazing and should be checked out, as
yes.
should Orgasmic Birth.
Yes, and the Bradley Method, Googling the Bradley Method and learning about that sort of course for
right, and hypnobirthing was kind of cool too.
Yes.
Kate Middleton did hypnobirthing.
Yes.
So maybe my birthing class was a little swankier than yours.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying.
Okay, you can just say that.
Yeah, I'm just going to say that. And I do think, you know, there's just a lot of resources online, so just do what you can. Oh, and one more thing. If you want to know that you can do birth on your own, I highly suggest that you go onto YouTube and Google search unassisted birth, because you did that for me, and we watched these
yeah.
women give birth by themselves.
In a kiddie pool.
In a kiddie pool, in like a Walmart kiddie pool.
Yeah.
Their husband couldn't even work the camera.
Yeah, yeah.
And she just burst some babies all on her own.
Yeah.
And it was wild.
Don't
I
do
highly suggest.
Don't do it if you're squeamish, but.
Yeah, Google search unassisted birth.
Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you for listening. We so appreciate it. We'd love to hear your natural birth stories. So please feel free to tweet us or email us at theovershareshow@gmail.com. All right, thank you so much. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks, guys.